treated like a son of God who would also inherit, which is exactly what it says at the bottom of that passage, if you remember it. It says, and you all are heirs according to the promise. Those were life words for her, that she would be treated like this. How wonderful it was. Now, you know what? For me, I'm a white male, as you can see. I've never been excluded like that. I know I'm privileged. So her insight is powerful and subversive and very inclusive. That God in his family has no second-class citizens, male and female. We're all one in Jesus Christ. We are all one. I don't know if you feel that or not, but this is our truth, and this is our reality. We are all one. So there, she or he is a child of God. The second thing is, they share a mystical sense of family unity, a oneness. We are. How many times in this passage, I'll just read to you, these things. You are all sons of God. There we go. Verse 27. For all of you were baptized into Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The idea of all of us being one comes through here over and over and over again. And repetition is a great teacher, right? We all are one. And what we know is that society has so many barriers, right, that keep people apart. The family of God is different. The family of God is this welcoming, inclusive family that says we're all one. We're all clothed in Jesus Christ. And I've put in brackets there, not always felt. Okay, that's my addition. That's not in the Bible. But is this your experience too? That we don't always feel like we're totally one. But the goal is that we would continue to work at this, that we would, as Ephesians 4 says, make every effort to guard the unity of the Spirit. It's something that God has given us. It's part of the package as Christians. We have this unity. We have this oneness with one another. Let's not let the divisiveness of the world get in here and crack us apart. Let us make every effort, because sometimes it's hard, make every effort to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So our Lord Jesus talks to us. So then he brings here three clear, really clear examples of groups that have been sort of fractured. And he says, now in the family of God, this doesn't exist anymore. There's no Jew nor Greek. So that would be, you see at the bottom line, ethnic differences. There's no slave nor free. That would be social differences. And there's no male nor female. That would be gender differences. These things are all broken down. Now what we know is, are there still males and females? Anybody help me? Yes, and thank the Lord there are. Viva la difference, we would say, right? That's for sure. But what he's saying is, in the family of God, we all belong. We're all equally treated, just like firstborn sons, just like Jesus, who is the firstborn son, is he not? That God looks at us, God looks at you, and just like he said to Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God sees you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, and he says, this is my beloved daughter. I love you. You're my beloved son. I love you. And we respond, oh, well, how can I love you back better? How can I serve you more? So there are these three categories of Jews or Greek. That's the ethnic differences. And you know, it's just so beautiful in the family of God. Wherever you're from, whatever your mother language is, whatever color of your skin, you're welcome. We're equal. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. Jesus is truly the hope of the world. Do you believe this? There's nothing else that breaks down the barriers and brings people from different ethnic backgrounds together. Now, I've seen it. We've felt it. Ruth and I, we wish we could take you to a church in Toronto where everybody's from Iran. And they're not black and they're not white. They're sort of in between and just beautiful. And in color, I mean. And they are beautiful. But so they were all Muslims before. They've all become Christians. And they worship in a different way than we do. And they sing in their own language. But you see the joy of the Lord and you're there and you're singing and you just think, this is amazing. We really are one. We share this fellowship in a beautiful way because Jesus Christ has broken down the ethnic barriers. Praise God for this. The second set of things here is the social barriers. And you know, when you think of slave and free, in that day, there really were slaves, like totally disenfranchised people with nothing. They were somebody's property. And yet when they trusted Christ, God, you know, they're made in the image of God anyway, but so there were these layers of society that there were slaves on the bottom, there were servants who served other people, then there were people who owned them, and there were masters, and there were the really rich, and so on. And what Jesus is saying here, that once you enter the family of God, this thing goes like this. We're all brothers and sisters, all of us. We don't have the strata like that anymore. We're all equally cherished. And just so you know, these life words, these were the words that were some of the words that were the seeds of the emancipation of the slaves. That when John Newton and William Wilberforce read these things and read in other places about it's for freedom that Christ has set you free, they said, this is not right that people should be somebody else's property and slaves. These are people made in the image of God. These were the beginning of the words of freedom in our world. Beautiful words, are they not? In Christ, there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Oh, let me say first, did you know that Lucan is also called the Wilberforce Settlement? You know what that means? There were a lot of black slaves who escaped from the south, from the southern states, and who came here and settled in Lucan, and it is called the Wilberforce Settlement. And if you go in there, you'll see there's a plaque and there's a wall beside the, it's going to say the Darling Store, but it used to be called Darling's. It's Foodland Store. And you'll see a bit of the history here. Anyway, there you go. The seeds of the emancipation movement are here in the scriptures. How great is our God. And gender barriers, male and female. This is radical for this to be written by Paul, inspired by God in this day and age when it was written. It was subversive to the system that was there. And because culturally at this time, women were totally second-class citizens and just property and could be divorced just at a whim like this. You burn my dinner, I write you a certificate of divorce, you're out on the street. How fair is that? It's hard to imagine how women were treated in that time. It's hard to imagine even today how women are treated all over the world, even in Canada. These words that we see here are important. They are so important. If you read other ancient literature that was written around the same time as the Bible or so on, you will not hear words about the equality of men and women. You won't, it's just not there. Only here. And so in Christian circles, in Christian pockets all around the world, where women have been oppressed, you see that women are honored and are lifted up and are esteemed. Because it's part of the gospel and is beautiful. Now, If Jesus Christ, in his new family, breaks down all these barriers of ethnic, social, and gender barriers, and if Jesus, when he's talking about his kingdom, the kingdom of God, if he breaks down all these barriers in his kingdom, should we not also be like Jesus in working in our society to break down these same barriers? I think sometimes of newcomers to Canada. And you know, there are many Christians who are leading the charge to welcome and to integrate and to bring people in. You read through the Bible, you see we are called to be people who welcome foreigners and people who are from away, to not discriminate, to not be afraid of someone else because, you know, they might wear a hijab or a Sikh turban or speak a different language. To not be afraid. We are people who reach out with the love of Jesus and welcome. We break down social barriers. Scripture's full of calling us to care for the poor and the orphans and the widows and those who are in prisons and the homeless. And I think how people from this church go into the Ark, which is a place in London that serves up meals to the homeless. And gender barriers, resisting all inequality, honoring one another, male and female, in our society, in our homes. Not because we're under law, but because we're under grace. These are words of freedom and words of beauty in the scriptures. We're a new society. Now, I'm going to go real fast for this last part because... And I'm just going to read maybe this first part. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'd urge you to read all of Galatians 5 eventually. But just let me read to the end here. Okay, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. He's arguing in this passage about the fact it doesn't. We're not under law anymore. This stuff doesn't matter. But the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, there's a Bible verse for us to put in our hearts and in our minds. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The truth of God comes into our lives and changes us. And then out of this faith, expressing the love of God out in our world. So therefore, Paul is pleading, don't ever go back under law again. And now that we have this freedom, never go back to legalism again. Because legalism confuses two things. And this is what I want to go through just quickly in closing. The two things are this. The human insistence on uniformity. We have to all be exactly the same. That's uniformity. Humans like that. But there's this other thing, the Christian principle of unity. We have unity even though we're not exactly the same. So here we go. We're going to do this real fast. Uniformity, I feel secure because you act, think, and talk like I do. I'm a lot more comfortable in because you're exactly like me. That's uniformity. We're all the same. Unity in the family of God is something different. We are both members of God's family by faith, and even though we might be different in many ways, vive la différence. So, in uniformity, the human insistence on uniformity, my emphasis is on external human behavior, your word and your deed. What are you saying? And how are you saying it? And how are you behaving? And all my emphasis is on that external human behavior. Under grace, under God's system, it's the internal spiritual character that Jesus is forming within us. And our emphasis is not so much on your words and your deeds, but on the word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and his deed, the deed of his life and his death for our sins, his powerful resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his sending of his Holy Spirit into our lives. We may be different, we may express it differently, but if you've received Christ as your Savior, we have unity, even though we might look different and even behave different at times. Okay, our relationship is based on, under law and uniformity, it's a clear list of do's and don'ts. So here we are, this is the list. You keep it, and you better keep it, or you're in trouble. Under grace, our unity is, there's this mystical quality of oneness in Jesus. We belong to one another. It's way bigger than we are, or just our outward patterns. And let me tell you a little story. The mystical quality of oneness in Jesus and a clear list of do's and don'ts. So I was raised in a very conservative family, okay? We didn't drink, smoke, chew, or go with girls who do. We had this list of rules, okay? And one of them was, you don't smoke if you're a Christian. So I get away to university at Western, just down the road here, and I go to a Christian group, and we're sitting, this is in the old days when everybody sat on the floor with your shoes off, and you cross your legs, and you sit in a circle. We all have our Bibles in front of us and so on. And so I'm a nice conservative boy sitting here, and we're doing a Bible study, right? It's a Christian group. There's a guy over here from the United Church, and I see that his pocket is a little big here, because he's got cigarettes in his pocket. So we're having a Bible study, and this was in the days when you could smoke indoors. You know, this is the age of the dinosaurs, if you remember back at that time. So this guy, he gets out his pack of smokes. We're having a Bible study. He goes, pulls out a cigarette, puts his mouth, puts the thing back in. Oh, I love Jesus. I just love how he says this here. Can you see this? It's so amazing. Oh, I love what Jesus has done for me. I'm so glad I'm following him. Can you imagine how that rocked my categories? Because I had this clear list of do's and don'ts that were measured by external features. Are you tracking with me here, or you think I'm crazy or what? This guy loved Jesus. He was passionate for Jesus. But he was breaking one of my rules. We had a mystical unity. We came to have a mystical sense of unity. I love the guy, but I was kind of thrown off at first because I had my list of rules. I don't want that list of rules. And Jesus doesn't want us to have it either. Okay, so our primary goal then is corrected behavior. If you're under the law, we got to fix people here. We got to get better behavior over here. But under grace, it's a right spirit. And you know what? If we're working with people to have a right spirit, don't you think behavior is going to follow that? So it brings us then to the last thing. When we disagree, what do? Under the law, we fight with brass knuckles, right? We fight each other with anger and fear because we have to work to win our theological point or whatever it is. Under unity, in love and acceptance, we actually listen to the other person. Oh, why do you believe it that way? Why do you express it that way? And we learn and we grow from one another and we reconcile because we're reconcilers. And the product then of law and uniformity is we end up with personal pride when I'm keeping the laws, it's about way, like I'm way better than you are, and criticism of others when they can't keep the law. And we also have a pile of guilt on ourselves when we can't keep the law. That's law. But under grace, there's personal humility. I can't live the Christian life anyway. God, help me. Brothers and sisters, help me. We have thanks and grace and help for others. So the ultimate system is law, legalism. Let's all be exactly the same. But under grace, there's a freedom and a unity. I'm going to read you some verses and we're done. It is for freedom, Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. I'm quoting Jesus, John 8. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if the Son Jesus sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Free not to do anything we want to do. Free not to sin. Free. Grace steers us in the direction of wanting to follow the Lord and obeying Him. Galatians 5:13. You are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love your neighbor as yourself. I know it's terrible when pastors keep saying, so my final thing is this, and then they have another final thing and another final thing. Here's my final, final thing, okay? Last night we're sitting around a fire out here, a whole bunch of men. It's a really good men's meeting. You guys who missed it, you can come next week, next Saturday night, okay? We're going to have another fire. We were talking about loving each other. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And one of the gentlemen of experience spoke and said, this is where we often have troubles, isn't it? Because some of us, we don't love ourselves very well. We're not very gracious to ourselves. And so we find it hard to love other people well because we're awfully hard on ourselves. And grace is like this. Grace says you're accepted, you're loved, you're welcomed into the family. Grace is leading us towards a different style of life, leaving sin patterns aside, following Jesus with all of our heart, receiving forgiveness, following Jesus with everything we've got. Don't you want to be a grace person? Don't you want to feel like the weight of sin and guilt off your back and taking it off the back of other people as well? And living in this peace and harmony with one another, showing the world really what it means to be sons and daughters of the living God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, that you've broken down every barrier, the ethnic barriers and the social barriers and the gender barriers, and you've made us one in your family. These are words that we need to hear in our world, that you have a family that's like this. And if only people knew about this, forgiveness of sins, welcoming into a family where we're all welcomed, we're all treated like firstborn sons, we're all inheritors of your life. Lord, would you forgive us, please, where we don't do this very well? Please forgive us, Lord, where we don't treat one another well, where we look down upon people who are different. Would you forgive us, Lord, and would you grant us this spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that breaks down every barrier and that comes with the love of Jesus Christ to the people in our world? And I pray that right here this morning and online, that we would feel and know the mystical sense of unity that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. How amazing it is. We belong. We belong to you. We're loved by you, and we're loved by one another, and we belong here in your family. So we want to thank you and praise you for this, and ask, Lord, that we will live it out in a more powerful way, because we are your children, and we praise you and thank you in your powerful name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord, and then we're on our way.
Sing it then. Great. Please stand with us as we sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Once I get my cap on. I did want to say that yesterday at the men's meeting, it was a very profound comment that was made to reflect, or I certainly reflected, and Doug shared it again here today, that we can be very hard on ourselves, and I am so grateful that God is not that hard on me. His grace is so good. His grace is so good. And His faithfulness is great. So let us sing of His faithfulness.